AR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday Funday. That's right, it is Monday, February 27th, 2017, and you are now locked into a great hour of sports talk. We will try our best to recap the entirety of the local sporting weekend and beyond. It was a busy one, to say the least, folks. Multiple teams in action, multiple games taking place. We even have a breaking news story that took place on Friday evening. We'll try to talk about it all, folks, in this next 60 minutes. We will, of course, highlight the Michigan State men's basketball senior day matchup against number 16 Wisconsin at the Breslin Center. How fun was that game, huh? Michigan State, we've talked all season about whether or not this team will make the big NCAA tourney dance. Is Michigan State going to get off the bubble? Well, many people believe that now, with that win over the Badgers yesterday, the Spartans can breathe a sigh of relief. We'll talk about that. We will also chat about the Michigan State women's basketball team. A tough matchup that went to overtime, courtesy of senior guard Tori Jankowska. I don't know if you guys saw that three-pointer she hit to send it into overtime, but it was insane. Could Michigan State win on the road to top Nebraska and earn a fourth seed, a double bye in the Big Ten tournament? We'll chat about that. Also, we will invite to the show a Williamston native who is the number 4 ranked single tennis player in the nation at the University of North Carolina. Find out who that is. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about the Detroit Pistons retiring the number 32. You guys know who donned that number back in the day, right? That's right. Richard Rip Hamilton. Rip was honored at halftime of the Pistons and Celtics game yesterday, and we will, of course, have weekend winners for you. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. The Michigan State men's basketball team picked up a key win over Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon at the Breslin Center. Even though it was senior day, it was Michigan State University's freshmen that led the Spartans to a 10-point dub over the 16th-ranked Badgers. Michigan State's 4 freshie accounted for 58 of Michigan State's points, and Matt McQuaid came alive for 15 of those. In an emotional moment at the end of the game, senior guard Aaron Harris checked into the game for his last time as a Spartan at home, just over a week after sustaining a season-ending knee injury. Harris entered the game wearing a massive knee brace and stood next to Izzo before kneeling down and kissing the Spartan head logo as time expired. Michigan State is now 18-11 on the year with 2 games left in the regular season. The Spartans will be back in action on Wednesday night as the team travels to Champaign to fight the Illini. Yeah, that should be a fun game. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team, the Michigan State men's basketball team weren't the only team to impress on the hardwood this weekend. Michigan picked up another impressive win as they topped Purdue 82-70 on Saturday at the Chrysler Center. Mo Wagner scored 22 of his 24 points in the first half, and Derek Walton Jr. recorded a double-double with 17 points and 11 boards. He's been great this year. Winners of 5 of their last 6, the Wolverines now sit at 19-11 and in a comfortable position to make the NCAA tourney as well. They close out the regular season with 2 games on the road starting this Wednesday, just like the Spartans, when they take on Northwestern. Oakland University clinched its first ever Horizon League regular season championship over the weekend. How about Greg Campion Company? Following a victory over Wisconsin Green Bay on Friday, the Grizzlies topped Milwaukee Sunday afternoon to clinch the league over Valparaiso. Now, following a midseason slump where the team lost four or five games, OU has strung together nine straight to finish the regular season 24-7. The Horizon League tourney is being held at the Joe Louis Arena. And the Grizzlies earned themselves a bye into a Saturday afternoon game against the winner of Youngstown State and Cleveland State. Congratulations to Coach Campion Company. Big year for them. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team dropped its regular season finale at Nebraska yesterday. The Spartans fell 76-74 in overtime to finish the regular season 19-10 overall and 9-7 in Big Ten play. Senior guard Tori Jankowska netted a team-high 29 points, and that included seven, yes, count them, seven three-pointers, one of which tied the game to send it into overtime. Michigan State will enter the Big Ten tourney as a sixth seed and will wait until Thursday to take on the winner of 11 seed Wisconsin and 14 seed Rutgers. If Michigan State would have won that game, the team would have had a first round double bye, actually. Yeah, that would have been nice, but hey, still a good year for Susie Merchant and company. They will also, I believe, make the tournament. All right, following Michigan State University's lead, the Michigan women's basketball team also lost a heartbreaker over the weekend out in Happy Valley. The 25th ranked Wolverines lost to Penn State 76-75 after the Nittany Lions split a pair of free throws with 5.6 left to play to send Michigan into the Big Ten tournament with a sour taste in its mouth. Now, Michigan will enter the tourney as a third seed and earned a double bye straight into the quarterfinals and a potential rematch with Michigan State. All right, the Michigan State baseball team suffered its first loss of the season over the weekend, but still won 2 of 3 against UNC Greensboro to move their record to 6-1. The Spartans won 5-4 on Friday night before their offense exploded for a 22-15 victory on Saturday, a game where MSU scored 13 runs in the fourth inning alone. Now, on the other side of the diamond, Michigan State University softball was able to complete its sweep of Loyola Marymount over the weekend to extend its winning streak to 5 games. With their record at an impressive 10-2, the Spartans will head to Athens, Georgia this weekend to take part in the Georgia Bulldog Invitational. MSU football will be without one of its best linebackers heading into next year, as John Reschke announced on Friday evening that he is leaving the program and will seek to transfer for his senior season. Reschke said he is leaving the football team after he, quote, made an insensitive and totally regrettable comment involving a former teammate, end quote. Reschke plans on completing his degree at Michigan State and will seek the opportunity of a grad transfer for one more year on the gridiron. Big news there, and it's such an odd time of the year because normally we are embarking on Michigan State spring football talk, but media members have not been given a spring schedule, no media availability, and spring practice for the MSU football team began on Saturday. Of course, that is in direct correlation with the Michigan State football sexual assault investigation. So we'll keep you updated if we hear anything on any media availability for the Michigan State football team throughout this spring. All right, Michigan State hockey's dreadful season has come to an end, well, at least at Mount-Ice Arena. The Spartans swept by 11th-ranked Penn State over the weekend, ending the season with a 2-13 record on home ice. Michigan State still has two more series left to play as they will travel to Columbus this weekend, followed by a trip to Minneapolis to take on the Golden Gophers. Fans can still see Michigan State play at least one more time, however, as the Big Ten tournament will be held at Joe Louis Arena for the final time. And last but certainly not least, no Detroit Piston will ever wear the number 32 again. That's right. Rip Hamilton of the Going to Work Pistons got his number retired yesterday afternoon at the Palace of Auburn Hills. It's the third number retired by Detroit in the last 2 years, as both Ben Wallace and Chauncey Big Shot Billups had their numbers raised to the rafters last year. Unfortunately, Only part of the night was spent in celebration, seeing as though the Boston Celtics ruined the party by handing the Pistons a 104-98 loss. Detroit still hangs on to the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, at least for now, just one game ahead of Miami and Milwaukee. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Hey, let's start the show.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're impossible.
Come on. La La Land. La La Land has 14 Oscar nominations this year and is tied for the most nominated movie in Oscar history, winning 7 Oscars. Production design, cinematography, original score, song, directing, actress, and best picture.
Thank you all. Thank you to the Academy. Thank you to Lionsgate. Thank you to our incredible cast and crew. We're all up here right now.
To my family, maman, papa, Jeff, hommage, vous adore. Matt Pluff, you kicked this off. And Damien Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders.
We lost, by the way, but, you know.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No, there's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
I think you guys should keep it anyway.
Oh, it's fine. I'm sorry.
Guys.
This is very unfortunate what happened. Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this.
I would like to see you get an Oscar anyway. Why can't we just give out a whole bunch of them?
I'm going to be really proud to hand this to my friends from Moonlight.
That's nice of you. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Very clearly, even in my dreams, this could not be true. But to hell with dreams. I'm done with it, because this is true. Oh, my goodness. We've been on the road with these guys for so long, and that was so gracious and so generous of them. My love to La La Land. My love to everybody. Man.
Man, that's how I got to start today's current sports. With a little bit of Prince, Let's Go Crazy, probably my favorite Prince track of all time. Because last night, for those who saw the Oscars, you guys know, that was a crazy moment. Probably the craziest moment in Oscars history. The 89th Academy Awards taking place. You guys know, I'm a big, not only just sports and music nut, but I also love my movies, all right? So every year, I am always glued to my television, watching the Oscars. As soon as I got done covering the Michigan State and Wisconsin senior day game at the Breslin, I shot over to the station and I spent my time editing that feature from the game while staring at the Oscar ceremony. And you guys saw what took place. Again, the biggest award of the night. I mean, this came during the announcement of the biggest award of the night, the final award of the night for Best Picture. And I don't know how you mess it up. But again, yeah, Prince, it was crazy. La La Land was announced as Best Picture. And then you see the cast go up. They're happy. They're in shock. They're celebrating. And then about halfway through the speeches, you see chaos. You see a producer with a headset on come back. He's running back and forth. And you could see the reactions of the cast of La La Land. Just like, whoa, what, what? And all of a sudden, Moonlight is announced as this year's Best Picture. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Jimmy Kimmel comes out and blames it on Steve Harvey. And I think Steve Harvey gets the ultimate hall pass now after what took place last night, right? I don't know. I can't put it into words. I want you guys to comment, like we do after each and every Oscars weekend. Comment on what took place last night at the Oscars. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Congratulations on to Barry Jenkins, who is also a member of my college fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, for taking home that big award. Big award. I don't know how you could put that into words. It's just one of those moments that will be played over and over and over throughout this entire week. Trust me. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there, and we begin with the Michigan State men's basketball team. What a win. A marquee win that the Spartans certainly needed after the topsy-turvy, up-and-down year that the Spartans have undergone this season. And, you know, what's so remarkable about this year is that Michigan State has just not made it easy on itself. And I want to just briefly, but before giving my overall synopsis of the game, I want to talk about the key moment for me. Because, you know, coming into this, I said with prior to the last two games, I said that Michigan State, in its final four games of the year, needed to go at least 2-2, at least get two wins out of the four, out of the final four, and a win, at least one win at the Big Ten tournament to solidify a spot in the big dance. Now, that was me speaking in assumption that those two wins would not come against the two ranked opponents in that four game slate, that being Maryland and Wisconsin. But lo and behold, they top Wisconsin at home in a big, big matchup. But the telling moment for me, the key moment in that game for me, was when Wisconsin was able to cut the lead to four in the second half. I won't go to what exactly happened at the end of the first half when Wisconsin cut the lead to just one, heading into the locker room. As Zach Schumacher hits a big three, he's pumped, right? But when Wisconsin cut the lead to four, and there's only one starter on the floor for Michigan State, I said to myself, okay, we are really going to see what this team is made of right now. We're really going to see if the Spartans have what it takes to legitimately knock off the Badgers at home. And what happens? Cassius Winston, who was brilliant all game for the Spartans. And we're starting to really see the upside for Mr. Cassius Winston. But Cassius Winston just sees the court better than anybody on the floor wearing a green and white jersey. He is the best guard on this team. We're really starting to see how high his ceiling truly is. Winston finding Kyle Arnes, of all players, Kyle Arnes, a guy who has been plugged in and had to really assume certain roles due to injury circumstances for this team, due to foul trouble when it comes to Nick Ward and other big men on the squad. Kyle Arnes gets a brilliant pass from Cassius Winston in the corner, does not hesitate, rises, and knocks down a three-pointer to extend the Michigan State lead from 4-7. That's when I said, okay, Michigan State really came to play today. That was the telling moment for me. And a crazy stat when you evaluate this game. I believe we have a bite from the game. Isaac, I threw it in there late. I don't know if you see it or not. But I'm going to play that in just a second. But a crazy stat that I looked at before tip-off is that Wisconsin, heading into that game last night, Wisconsin has not beaten Michigan State in East Lansing at the Breslin since 2004. 13 years. Are you kidding me? That is a long time. That is a long drought. That's a lot of Badger seniors that have never won in East Lansing. Crazy, crazy stuff. Briefly here, before I finish my spiel, I want to play, again, a snippet from that game. Right now, you're going to hear the voices of Tom Izzo, head coach of the squad, of course, as well as Miles Bridges, who did what Miles Bridges does on the hardwood, and also one of the three seniors who were honored last night on senior day. The three seniors that were honored were, of course, Matt Van Dyke, Alvin Ellis III, who's been a pleasant surprise this year, even though he has not had great outings in recent games, and also Aaron Harris, whose season ended, unfortunately, on the road to Purdue, a season-ending knee injury for Harris. You're going to hear from Harris as well in this snippet.
Don't quit following now. It's the best it's yet to come. Thank you.
We have a shell of our team. I mean, you know it. I know it. It's been hell on those freshmen. It's been hard on us. And we handled it. We've handled it. We've survived it. That doesn't mean we're done yet. Doesn't mean that we can't accomplish some things yet. Doesn't mean that we're over the hump. It just means that we learned how to deal with some pressure.
We got a lot to work on. We're a young team, talented team, and we're starting to learn how to win. So if we continue to get better, then we'll be a dangerous team.
I'm proud. That's the best word I can give. Proud of the consistency. And what happens from here, who knows? We still got some games to win.
We still want to win every game just to secure it. But this is a big game for us.
Like you said, like Alvin said, we're not done yet. You know, these guys got a lot of work to do. And
to have the opportunity to go out there and kiss that Spartan head during game.
It's crazy. It's an honor. You know, it's a part of the tradition, the Spartan tradition, and now I'm a part of it. You know what I'm saying? That walking out, you know, the picture with your parents and stuff like that got on the walls out here. I'm going to have one of those now. Like, just to be a part of this, nobody can take that away from me.
Yeah, certainly an emotional moment for Aaron Harris, who at one point in that game, you know, looking at how it went, it was so close at one point. You know, I questioned whether or not Coach Izzo was going to get the opportunity to put in Aaron Harris for some kind of send-off in front of the Breslin Center crowd. But he did. You know, he did. And it was an emotional one as you saw Aaron Harris wave to the crowd and then limp on all fours to kiss the center court, the Spartan head. And then, you know, he got high fives from his teammates and then headed to the bench. I mean, what a moment, though, for Aaron Harris. And, of course, just an unfortunate end to his career. But what a win, you know, and I want to throw in that snippet where Aaron said, yeah, these guys still have a lot of work to do, because Izzo reiterated during his talk to the fans last night but that this team is not done yet. Michigan State, I think, punched his ticket to the Big Dance with a win over a stout team in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, when you look at this game, especially at halftime, I mean, how about at the half, the 11 bench points that Matt McQuaid gave Michigan State? Matt McQuaid did not look like the usual Matt McQuaid we've seen this season. Now, we all know Matt McQuaid can shoot the basketball. But, you know, there were a few times where Matt McQuaid created things for himself in that game. You know, he had a baseline drive that led to an and-one layup. Like, where did that come from? You know, Travis Trice was in the house because his brother, Demetric Trice, is a freshman guard for the Wisconsin Badgers. It was cool to see Travis Trice in the house at the Breslin for another time. very cool to see him out there. But I really thought that, man, you know, in many ways, Matt McQuaid, a few times throughout that game, looked like Travis Trice back in the day. Had some great moves, great moves. I saw many people on Twitter talking about that. And how about, you know, when he had the spin move from the free throw line and fade away to the right, a very tough shot that found the bottom of the basket. I don't know who that dude was last night, but Matt McQuaid was big. Nigel Hayes, I want to call out the defense of Miles Bridges, because Bridges is one of the best players in the Big Ten. Hayes is one of the best scorers in the Big Ten. And the matchup between Hayes and Bridges was so fun to watch because both of them embraced that competition throughout that game. And Nigel Hayes, I mean, Nigel Hayes tried in that first half to really go at Miles Bridges, but Bridges was right there in his face and played Hayes fantastic. Nigel Hayes may have finished, his numbers may have finished pretty well in the scoring column as he finished with 22 points, but at halftime, Nigel Hayes only had 7 points, courtesy of great defense by Miles Bridges. And a lot of the reason why Hayes was able to get it going in that second half is because Miles Bridges had to come out the game multiple times due to foul trouble. You know, at the half, you had actually Nick Ward, Alvin Ellis, and Josh Langford with two personal fouls. And then later on down in that game, you saw Miles Bridges get into foul trouble. Cassius Winston, 5 rebounds and 5 assists at the half. Cash would finish with 10 points, 8 assists, 7 boards, just 2 turnovers. That is winning basketball. Michigan State has its point guard of the future in Cassius Winston. Again, great court vision. He can also shoot the basketball. Just a tremendous guard. He sees everything. He sees everything. And at one point, you saw Wisconsin down by 13 points in the first half. But then what happens? Whiskey closes out the first half on a 14-2 run to make it a 1-point game. A tray from Zach Showalter, who had 11 points at the half. Michigan State went scoreless in the last 3 minutes and 27 seconds of the first half. And I sat there and said, oh, boy. Yep, this is going to be a barn burner. But what a moment. You know, for Michigan State to pull out this win, now sitting at 18-11, 10-6 in conference play, with still 2 regular season games left to play, Wednesday at Illinois, that's a 9 p.m. tip time, and this Saturday at Maryland, a 2 p.m. tip time, winning basketball. Michigan State has not chosen the easiest road to get to Tom Izzo's 20th straight NCAA tourney appearance, but nonetheless, in my eyes, they have gotten the job done and done it as in a collective effort. Many, many players contributing to that win last night. Also, Josh Langford. You know, and this is the thing. When Izzo goes on his rant about how this year has been so different in years past, well, there are a few similarities that you can look to when comparing this team to years past for Izzo. Again, the injury problem. We all know about the injuries to Ben Carter, Gavin Schilling, now Aaron Harris. We all know about the injury problems for Michigan State. I mean, heck, when Denzel Valentine was here, don't forget, remember when Denzel went out and he missed 4 games? And again, young guys had to step into new roles and really mature. This, injuries have happened before. Izzo has also had teams that lacked a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of senior leadership, you know? And now, right now, with Michigan State only relying on one senior and Alvin Ellis III, who really contributes on a regular basis. I mean, Michigan State has had teams in the past that hasn't had a lot of senior leadership. That's not new. But what is new is Michigan State using its freshmen. I mean, having 4 freshmen that plays the amount of minutes that Michigan State does, that's what makes this such an odd year. When you have talents like Bridges, Winston, Langford, and Ward, all contributing, all starting, all, you know, at one point at least, when you talk about Cassius Winston, all, you know, all contributing and having to rely on them to produce efficient numbers, on a game-by-game basis. That is what's so odd about this year for Tom Izzo. But I must say, with each and every game that's played, these young pups are getting better and more comfortable with dealing with that pressure. Nick Ward, 22 points. He seems to get better every time I see him. 9 rebounds. I will say, though, Nick Ward has got to work on his personal foul issue. Because far too often do we see Nick Ward get off to these hot starts, and then on the defensive end, he gets into foul trouble and has to sit out. And then you have to look to guys like Kyle Ahrens or Kenny Goins to come in and try to hold down the fort. Not, no knock against Ahrens and Goins and those guys, because they've done a remarkable job. They've surpassed many folks' expectations, including my own, when coming in and holding down the fort when Ward does get into foul trouble. But Nick has got to be smarter on the defensive end. He can score, and he can do a lot of great things. And I do think Nick Ward is a pretty good defensive player, too. He's turned into a very good defensive player as well. But you got to pick and choose your battles in today's NCAA. I must say that. Miles Bridges played with 4 fouls as well. He played with fire. And I mentioned how Langford and Alvin Ellis, they both got into foul trouble as well. They both finished with 4 personal fouls as well. So you have 4 players playing with fire a bit in this game, playing with 4 fouls. And I think as that game went on, they were so conscious of that, they were smarter with how aggressive they were on the defensive end. Big win for Michigan State, 84-74 over the 16th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers. Again, as I mentioned, Michigan State will now hit the road for the final 2 regular season games, Wednesday at Illinois and then this Saturday at Maryland. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with a local tennis star who is now ranked number 4 in the country at a very big university. Find out who that is and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Want to pass along some breaking news here. Our very own Scott Pohl passed this to me about 15 minutes or so ago. But Virge Bonero, Lansing mayor, has announced that he will not run for a 4th term. Again, breaking news, Lansing mayor Virge Bonero announcing that he will not run for a 4th term. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just finished up a brief chat about the Michigan State men's basketball team downing the Wisconsin Badgers on Senior Day at the Breslin Center. Want to invite to the show briefly here Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who actually shot that game for us. Again, you can catch the postgame report on the WKAR Current Sports 2-Minute Drill via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Isaac did a great job in shooting Senior Day for us. He shot the highlights, the post-game reaction, as well as the Senior Day ceremony. He did a fantastic job. Isaac, takeaways and thoughts for the big Spartan win over the Badgers.
I thought you definitely nailed it down, but the thing is, we can't understand the importance of this game going forward for MSU. Nobody made the mistake of thinking that this was a regular game. Not only was it a senior day, but at the same time, the Spartans were fighting for their postseason lives. And they still are in some ways, but now the pressure's off. More than likely, they just need one game of the remaining 3, including the Big Ten tournament. And the Spartans, they looked as good as they have all season, comprehensively. Because, as you mentioned, there was foul trouble on the day. There were different issues throughout the game with certain players not hitting or whatever. But the thing is, the team itself stepped up. A good team, it's not always going to have this player score 20 points, this player score 15, and this score 10. It's going to have player A score 20 sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes he'll be off. Sometimes he'll only score 5 in a game. But it's who steps up around that. You mentioned Matt McQuaid with a big game, showing off his versatility, not only on the 3-point shot, that's what got him going, but to drive, draw the foul, still finish with a nice little flick of the wrist. Then you also had guys like Josh Langford, who's really came into his own as well. So for MSU, I thought this was the most comprehensive team performance of this season. I think it bodes well for the future.
For sure. And I don't know who that Matt McQuaid was last night, because I have not seen that dude pull off those moves ever throughout his career, his young Michigan State career thus far. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I want to ask you this question really briefly here, though. The starting lineup, this is the second game that Tom Izzo has decided to go with Alvin Ellis III in the starting lineup. You had Ward, Bridges, Langford, Ellis, and Tum Tum as your starters last night. Alvin has struggled these last two games in the starting lineup. He finished with just 2 points. He had more personal fouls than he did points last night. 4 fouls, 2 points for him. Played 15 minutes. 15 minutes of work. Do you think Tom Izzo sticks with Ellis in the starting lineup moving forward?
I think he does, because I think there's also that senior leadership element. You want at least one senior in the starting lineup, it seems to me. However, for me personally, I'm not convinced that Ellis is the guy going forward in that starting lineup. The other thing is, he's a guy who traditionally was a decent defender his first few years. He struggled with these recent foul calls as well, the increased regulations on what you can and can't do with your hands on defense. Mm-hmm. He had 4 fouls yesterday as well. I would actually prefer to see a little bit of a shakeup in the starting lineup.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to weigh in on anything that has to do with the Michigan State men's basketball team or anything on your sports noggin. Let's get to our guest for this afternoon's Current Sports. Sarah Davatilla, Williamston native, number 4 ranked single women's tennis player in the nation at the University of North Carolina. How cool is that, right? That's right. She's right here, right from here in mid-Michigan, I should say. She actually won 2 Division III state championships while at Willie. And get this, a cool tidbit here. She was also homeschooled. Very intriguing story, and she is ripping it up in Chapel Hill. It is truly my pleasure right now to welcome to the show Sarah Davatilla. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fantastic. And again, on behalf of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, congratulations on all the success in your first year at UNC. I want to start from the very foundation of your liking and interest in the sport of tennis, though, Sarah. When did you start playing, and why did you take to the sport?
I started playing when I was about 4 years old. My mom played for the University of Western Michigan. Mm-hmm. So she played college tennis, so she got me holding a racket as soon as I could walk, I guess. and so she really got me into it, and I kept with it because it was something that we always did together, and I just loved it.
Where would she take you? What courts, and when did you know that you were pretty good at it?
well, we actually started hitting when I lived in Grand Ledge. Mm-hmm. And we would just be hitting in the parking lot back and forth. And then we started going over to the high school and their courts. And I can always remember, like, we would hit for maybe 2 hours or, like, 2 baskets, and we'd always go for ice cream afterward or something. So it was always a great treat for us to go daily.
You've had great success, again, in just your first year at UNC. But I want to ask you this, Sarah. When you look at what you've done so far, it's so cool to follow your career from Williamston now to North Carolina. I have to ask this question, though. Who is your tennis inspiration? Is there a player that you try to mimic your game with, or who is that, if so?
To be honest, I've been asked that question before, and I really don't have anyone that I mimic my game to, really. Mm-hmm. I never watched a lot of tennis on the tennis TV. We never had cable, I guess.
Wow.
My parents weren't big on watching TV.
Right.
Growing up, they were all about the activities outside. And so, yeah, I never watched a lot of TV. I guess my mom kind of inspired me, and we would watch people when I go to tournaments and see what they did good and then try to mimic that and incorporate that into my game.
So what about now, Sarah? Is there someone that you watch in professional tennis that you really admire?
Yes, for sure. Many different people. Roger Federer for his grace and the way he carries himself on the court. Serena Williams for intensity. And just different aspects of people's games, I guess.
With that being said, Sarah, do you think Serena is the greatest tennis player to ever play the game?
Yeah, I mean, she definitely proved herself that she's one of the best. And I think right now she is, but you can always say that someone's always going to be better than you. That's what I was. There's always someone out there that's going to be better, because that makes you keep pushing harder and keep improving. But yes, I do think she's one of the greatest.
For sure. Sarah, you know, I find it so interesting that when evaluating your journey to where you are now, you were actually homeschooled. And you transferred to Williamston for your junior and senior year. What was that like being homeschooled, and why? Why did your parents make that decision?
My mom wanted to spend more time at home with us. She really took on everything. I mean, she taught us music, homeschooled, tennis. I mean, all my three sisters play tennis, and then my other two brothers play hockey, but we were all homeschooled up until high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she really thought that was important and really wanted to create that strong bond with us. And she, it worked. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I did it.
Did you fight her at all on it? You know, when you started to hit high school, those high school years, you know, when you made the transfer to Williamston, did you fight her on that and saying, you know, Mom, I kind of want to finish out things with other peers of mine at a high school? What went into that decision to transfer to Williamston?
I actually transferred to Williamston my sophomore year. I went to school my sophomore and junior year. And
okay.
It was a mutual decision. We talked it out. We had a long conversation about it. And we came that it was, like, the best time to do it and the best decision, because I really wanted to play on the high school tennis team. I really wanted to try that and just see what high school was like, because obviously I never experienced it. So I did part-time in school, so I would get out early so I could get to the courts in the afternoon. The high school at Williamson was very gracious and very worked with me a lot to let me do that, which was amazing.
So, Sarah, what teams were you a part of before Williamson?
I was not.
You weren't?
Junior. I was not, no.
Was it a culture shock for you at all, going from homeschooling to Williamson and playing on a team? What was that like for you? Was there an adjustment period you had to go through?
There was an adjustment period, the schooling-wise. I mean, obviously, I never had that real teacher. I never had, like, student peers, which was definitely different, but I really loved it. I loved school. And I wish I could have gone back my senior year, but I unfortunately, I had to attend pro circuit events, and those are during the week, so I couldn't miss that much school. But I really enjoyed it, and the tennis actually wasn't that much different, the team events, because in juniors, on the USTA, I did group, I guess you could say, like team events. So I was used to the team environment, so the high school wasn't that big of a change.
Sarah Davitilla, Williamston native, number 4 ranked singles tennis player in the nation at the University of North Carolina. Sarah, you went 38-0 during your span with Williamston, and you won 2 Division III state championships there. What are your fondest memories of that time, and what made that team so good?
Probably just, like, the team environment, everybody cheering for me, like, the people that came out to support me at States was just spectacular. I've never experienced that, so just to feel all the love and support coming from my high school team and everyone that came out to support me, that was just amazing.
The dynamic of playing an individual sport in comparison to the team atmosphere, and in many regards, you playing on Williamson, it is a team. You know, you guys are competing, and there's camaraderie there. But when you're out there playing, and I love to ask this question to those that play what are dubbed as individual sports. I mean, like a golf, you know, like mm-hmm. like a tennis. Do you like that pressure of just being out there alone in your own world, mano y mano? What is that dynamic like for you, and do you embrace that pressure, Sarah?
I do embrace it, definitely. I feel like you have to be able to compete in the singular sport and to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoyed that pressure. Growing up, I liked singles more than doubles because I could put it all on myself. And, like, I would feel so bad if, like, I missed a shot and my partner, I'd go over to them. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I liked the individual because, like, it was all on me and it was up to me on whether what I did. No, I definitely embrace that pressure. But now that I'm in college, I absolutely love the team, like the team atmosphere, because it's a sense of like if there's a pressure, but it's a different kind of pressure because you're playing for something more than yourself. And that's what I really loved in high school and in college tennis.
Now how does that work, Sarah, at the college level? Is there like a accumulated team score that bows to the record? How does that work? How does the scoring work?
Okay, so you have three doubles matches and six singles. So you have to win two out of the three doubles matches to get a point. And then each singles match is worth a point. And it's the first team to get to 4 points.
Oh, wow. So mm-hmm. Does everyone on the team participate in doubles as well?
They can. It's different from high school that, yes, you can. Like, I participate in singles and doubles.
Okay.
It just depends on the lineup.
Gotta love that. Okay, so when you were recruited, Sarah, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of schools knocking on your door. Why North Carolina, and what other schools were after you?
I was looking at UCLA, Stanford, Michigan, Ohio State. I didn't go much further because I narrowed it down because I didn't want to go that far from home.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a family of six children, so it would have been very difficult for them to come down and watch me.
Right.
I chose North Carolina because not only of its location, but because I have some of the best coaches that I've ever seen. The team atmosphere, like the chemistry here is just amazing, and their tennis and academic program, it was a perfect fit for me.
I'm curious, was Michigan State vying for your talent?
growing up 15 minutes is a little close from home. 15 minutes from there, but I definitely cherish going to the matches and cheering for them. It'll always be a home for me there.
Did they offer you at all?
Yes, they did.
Okay, they did. I just wanted to make that clear. Okay, so you had Michigan State and Michigan trying to get you on the squad, huh?
Yeah, my mom was really pushing for them, but I'm sorry, Mom.
Sometimes you just got to get away, right, Sarah? Get away from mom and pops and do your thing, right?
It was more just get away from the cold. I needed to get away from the Midwest weather a little bit.
I hear you. I totally hear you on that, Sarah. Now, you know what I found interesting is because, you know, I saw an article written by James Edwards of the Atlantic State Journey, Journal, excuse me, profiling you. And at the time, you were ranked number two in the nation. Now, I looked at the updated rankings. North Carolina right now has an overall record of number three, okay? So that's still good, okay? It's great, more than great, exceptional. And you look at the individual rankings now, and you were number two. Again, as I mentioned, you are now number four. But what I find even more intriguing is that Haley Carter, senior on your team, is ranked number three. So there are two North Carolina women's tennis players ranked in the top five. Haley at three and yourself, Sarah, at four. What is that like competing with Haley? Is there a little rivalry there?
No, Haley, she's one of the coolest people I know. I looked up to her so much. We travel a lot with each other in the fall tournaments, and I got to know her really well. No, she's one of my favorite people, and I'm really going to miss her next year. We actually, a couple weeks ago, the rankings changed so often, and we had three people actually in the top 10, Jesse Aney as well, and I was two, Haley was four, and then Jesse was nine.
Wow.
But it's amazing. I'm very proud of our team and what we've done so far.
And you, hey, you, Sarah, you know, being, because you're just, correct me if I'm wrong, you're a freshman there at North Carolina, right? And,
yeah.
and for you to be ranked that high along with one of your senior teammates in Haley Carter, I mean, what have you learned from vets like her? And is the team a bit shocked at your early success there on campus?
I mean, I don't know about shocked. Everybody's here has achieved success at some point to be able to come here, and everyone's really good. But I mean, I think everyone was very supportive of my ranking. I mean, I was surprised, to be honest, that I achieved that high of a ranking. So I was very happy, but I try not to look at it too much, you know, because then it gets in your head and mm-hmm. I'm just out here playing and having fun.
What have you learned from vets like Haley?
Definitely the way she carries herself on the court and just her whole demeanor and sportsmanship, and she just never gives up. And when the team, I've learned that, like, when the team needs you and it comes down to you, is you keep fighting, you fight harder.
Love that. Sarah, I know you're still balling out at UNC, and you will be for a few years there. But I have to ask this question. How much do you dream about doing this professionally?
Oh, it's definitely a dream. I've thought about it probably during maybe 12, 14, about actually thinking of making it a career. And it's starting to look brighter and brighter. So I'm definitely excited to try it out after college.
Your family has to be pretty proud, huh, Sierra?
Yeah, my dad still says to his friends, she's doing okay. And then they saw in the article, Bruce, she's doing a little bit more than okay.
So that's one thing. You can always count on family to keep you a bit humble, right?
Yes, for sure.
All right, Sierra. So with you being from the Williamston area, how often do you still get to visit? When will you be back in town?
Unfortunately, we play Notre Dame coming up soon, so I'll mm-hmm. be our closest. But I won't be back in town until summer.
Till summertime, gotcha.
Yep.
Does your family get to travel a lot and see you in action?
Yes, they actually have driven out quite a bit. My parents are flying down for our next tournament in a couple weeks here.
That is great stuff. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we've been talking with the number 4 ranked singles women's tennis player in the nation at North Carolina. Again, a Williamston native, Sara Davatilla. Sara, it's been such an honor to have you on the show, and continued success. We're wishing you continued success on your career at Chapel Hill.
Thank you so much.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's Current Sports by talking about a certain number that was retired at the Palace of Auburn Hills for the Detroit Pistons basketball organization. Also, we'll have weekend winners for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Host Al Martin. If you just now joined us, you missed a great chat with Sara Davatilla, native from here in Michigan at Williamston, and she is the number 4 ranked tennis player in the nation. She was number 2 in this great country not too long ago. And North Carolina, as a whole, as a team, is ranked 3rd nationally. Isaac. I don't know much about tennis, but I know it's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I never played myself as a kid, really, but wow. And to be a freshman and that precocious, that far along your advancement, man, Sara has done something special. I mean, especially coming from Williamston, not that you can't play tennis indoors. I know a lot of people here do, but that's also something where usually people from warm climates excel in it. For her to be number 4 nationally at the time she is, at the age she is, that's pretty amazing.
It truly is, and we wish Sara the best. And what even gets me more so than that is that, again, yeah, she's a freshman. She's so young. Wow. 517-355-WKAR. We only have a few minutes left in here. And you know what? I'm going to throw this man into my weekend winners. Let's start weekend winners right now, Isaac.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes, it is now time for our current sports weekend winners, a weekly segment we do to end the show each and every Monday here on WKAR AM 870, where we take a look at the entire weekend that was and bring to you who won and who lost. So probably my biggest winner of the weekend, Isaac, I want to give, well, other than the Michigan State men's basketball team, they're on my list as well. But Richard Rip Hamilton, you know, this is a player that I grew up watching and admiring. And this is when really, you guys know I'm a Detroit Pistons fan, but this is when really my fandom really started to take off when, of course, in 2004, the Pistons won the NBA title over the Los Angeles Lakers in a five-game series against Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, Karl Malone. Richard Rip Hamilton was one of the stars on that squad. Rip Hamilton's number 32 was sent to the Palace Raptors last night. And some of Rip's biggest rivals actually took to Twitter to pay tribute to him. How about LeBron James tweeting out, "Congrats to the fam at Rip City Hamilton on getting your jersey number 32 retired tonight in Detroit. Hashtag forever hanging. Hashtag yes, sir." That's one of the phrases that Richard coined during his playing days for the red, white, and royal blue. And also Dwayne Wade, quote, "This guy gave me a lot of sleepless nights. Respect to the great Rip Hamilton." I thought that was a very classy move from D. Wade and LeBron James, two players who went against Rip on a seasonal basis, and they had some battles, I tell you. Congratulations to Rip City, though.
Matt, all right, then let me just get the negative out of the way before the positive. For
Dwayne Wade,
one time when Rip was on the Bulls at the tail end of his career, Dwayne Wade, out of frustration, shoved him to the ground, earning himself,
I believe, one or two.
Well, it was off the ball.
That's basketball. That's basketball. That's competing. That's in the heat of battle, Isaac.
Rip was literally just holding the ball to his chest, clutching it close, letting some time run off. Wade shoved him. I mean,
Shaq and Charles Barkley got into a full-fledged
fist fight. That's a little bit different when it's Shaq and Charles Barkley.
But anyway, man,
that's my negative. My positive is Rip Hamilton. I've said multiple times, those early 2000s Detroit Pistons were some of my favorite teams in basketball. Rip Hamilton was always my favorite player, Rip, because he always just did his job, went out, did his job. The cornrows, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were excellent, and he was a consistent 18-a-game scorer, always good for about 2 threes a game, cut to the basket, very tough playing with a mask his entire career. Rip is Rip to Rip's jersey. I mean, I'm happy it's retired, you know?
He's great. He's great. Also, I do have a few losers I want to bring up. How about Gonzaga losing to BYU over the weekend? I'm seeing the latest AP poll here, and Kansas is your new number one. How about that? All right, well, we are out of time. We'll talk more college hoops tomorrow. As always, folks, have a great Monday afternoon, and be easy, people.